Hear that? It's the sound of you catching up on all the latest and greatest fintech news, trends, and updates thanks to Streetworthy, Yield Street's bi-weekly newsletter. Stay in the know with CEO Milind Mahiri as he takes a closer look at what's happening in the fintech space, then breaks down what each story could mean for investors like you. Give your portfolio the edge it deserves and subscribe to Streetworthy on LinkedIn today.
Welcome to The Yield, the official podcast of Yield Street. Every week, we bring you the latest market insights across our asset classes and products from subject matter experts. Our aim is to break the outdated mold of investing and help you add financial fuel to your ambitions through innovative investing products and strategies typically unavailable to most investors. Realize your next level with The Yield. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. The views you are about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of Yield Street. This podcast is intended to be strictly informational and is not intended to be and should not be construed as a research report, investment advice, or the offer or sale of securities or any investment product. Now, let's get into the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Yield. I'm your host, Milind Mahiri, founder and CEO of Yield Street. And today I'm joined by Washington Wizards point guard, Pac-12 First Team All-Conference honoree, Galaxy founder, sneaker designer, and entrepreneur, Spencer Dinwiddie himself. Widdy, thanks for joining us on the show. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, sir. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
So for those of you who are unfamiliar with Widdy, let me give you some background. Received Pac-12 First Team Conference honors as a sophomore with the Colorado Buffaloes in 2012 and helped them lead to a conference championship. Designed the sneaker shoe and a basketball shoe without any previous shoe design experience. Founded Galaxy, the open social marketplace for creators by creators. And we all know how the creator economy is booming these days. Suffered a career-threatening ACL injury at Colorado, but then was drafted by the Detroit Pistons in 2014. Played 3 years for Brooklyn Nets, and now will be the starting lineup for the Washington Wizards. And as a philanthropist, he is leading the Dinwiddie Family Foundation, empowering disadvantaged youth through fitness, financial literacy, and educational programming. With you are into sneakers, cooking, social media, and investing. So at this point, the question really is, what is it that you can do?
No, I really appreciate the introduction. Some of those things are turning into hobbies as my full focus transfers back to playing basketball with the Wizards full time. But I'm a big believer in, you know, if you put your mind to something, you have passion for it, and you're willing to kind of narrow your focus, that just about anything is possible. So I'm not into putting limitations on myself outside of dancing. I'm not a good dancer.
That's awesome. I think passion is really so important. And you always had a serious passion for basketball. But when you were young and when you're growing up, did you have any other interest? Were you entrepreneurial right from the young age?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to say that I recognize the freedom that money can bring. And I think that inspired some entrepreneurial mindset along with my parents, specifically my dad. He was a real estate agent. He owned a Subway. He had different endeavors. So some of that is nature, some of that's nurture. And so I really have to credit my dad a lot, because my first love was definitely basketball, and I've been pretty singular and focused on that journey in terms of it being the main thing.
Of course, I think your main profession is always very important, but I think to really have the understanding that investing is important is also very, very important. So now, yeah. Witty, you entered the NBA at a very, very, very young age. How did you manage your money? Now, you're lucky that you had obviously your dad as your advisor. But did you have any other strategies, or did you come to a point that you figured you needed to do something about it? Walk our audience through that process.
When you first get into NBA, you hear all the horror stories about blowing money. So your first natural reaction is to be very safe, which is good. You know, it's better to be safe than sorry. But as you continue to educate yourself, you do need to take some chances and rely on that learning at some point in time. I have safer investments like real estate, which my dad helped guide me through and walk me through. But getting into the crypto space and crypto markets and blockchain in general, and being a startup founder and taking some of those riskier bets, really relied on passion, conviction, and doing my own research. And, you know, I truly believe that we're in the midst of the birth of an asset class. And that only happens so many times throughout history. So for me, in terms of an educated gamble, I actually looked at my NBA money as my safe money to an extent, right? Like, I'm playing this game. I have a profession. I have a career. If I can eliminate all my family's bad debt, set up my family with properties and things that are in that safer route and create a generational style foundation, then the money that is on top of that, I now have the leeway and freedom to be more aggressive and to invest in a market that has that asymmetrical curve rather than playing the Fortune 500 game. So that's kind of the way I looked at it. And I feel like once I created that foundation, I started to gamble has such a negative connotation, but I started to really take those chances. And I've been fortunate enough to do well on some. And obviously I've lost too, but crypto and blockchain has treated me well so far.
Yeah, I think that's really a very good piece of advice, because I think at the end of the day, we have to really think about three buckets of money, right? Like, what's your safe bet? What is that is going to give you general market returns? And then what is that aspirational or market plus returns? And I think you're right that crypto and blockchain and just generally digital currencies are here to stay and are going to be a big trend in as we enter this decade, you know, for the next 10 years or so. To that point, Vidi, just going a little bit back, where did the relationship with money and investing start? Like, was it your dad who encouraged you to kind of think about investments, or was there somebody else that really motivated you? What was that first experience from an investing perspective? Give a little perspective on that.
Definitely, I would say my dad. Like I said, he had different entrepreneurial endeavors. So I understood what it meant to have multiple jobs or different jobs and also to take chances. This is something that I actually haven't talked about quite a bit, but when I was on the AAU circuit, you might get a pair of rare shoes or whatever that not many people had or knew about. I sold a couple on eBay before, made a little bit of money. And you know, you make a couple hundred dollars as a high school kid and you feel like you're rolling. So things like that. So from an early age, I understood like, hey, like my talent can get me things. Those things can be converted into cash in some form or fashion. I can now use this in whatever way that I want, whether it's a new video game, maybe it's an Xbox, whatever it is, but you're starting to learn how to extract value from your talent, also how to exchange money for goods and things that you want, and what it means to be flexible in how you approach just the concept of money. So, you know, all that started, I would say, with my dad and an early age and just evolved as my resources and knowledge base grew.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think what you said with regards to understanding the value of money early is so important for kids.
Yeah.
And it's not so much, you know, whether it's $200 or $2,000, but the ability for you to say, hey, I made this trade, I made this money. I think it's a very important lesson earlier on in life.
Yeah, I actually, on that note, I really agree with you. And this is a little bit of an aside, but I know this is something that is actually kind of negative in the Black community. I've heard a lot of my peers, even growing up, 21, 22, 23, talking about they've never had a credit card and they're scared to have a credit card because they're parents went into debt and this, that, and the third. And so a lot of times financial literacy doesn't start for our demographic until early mid 20s. And so that's why some of that money mismanagement happens, right? Like a credit card is an effective tool in today's society, because if you start early enough, you can build your credit. You just have to use it responsibly. But most of the people are taught how to use it in an irresponsible fashion. That's just like with any other tool. A stovetop can help you cook food, but it can also burn your hand, right? Like, you know, if you use the tool improperly and everybody has a stove in their house, you could light your house on fire or burn your hand and all this other stuff. So it's really about like learning best practices than it is about using scare tactics.
You're absolutely right, Vidi. And I think one thing to keep in mind, which is you mentioned, right, is there are some investment buckets that are safe and, you know, they're real assets and things like that. And then you're taking more aggressive bets. So obviously you're a believer in diversifying your investments. Tell us a little bit about how you think about diversification as an important concept when it comes to investing.
Obviously, to your point, investing, you have different buckets. You have to look at how you value money and also diversification, just from the standpoint of in anything in life, if you only do one thing, you only bet on one thing, et cetera, if it fails, if you are wrong, you're done. And I think anybody in life wants to have their entire fate rest on one entity's shoulders. My diversification buckets, the way I look at it, I think real estate, which I've been able to amass the properties. And like I said, make sure my family's set up in those respects with different homes and investment properties and things are my safer bets, because we buy them in solid areas, you know, typically LA, things like that, that probably aren't going to depreciate, at least not drastically, right? Like these are high valued areas. I actually look at the MBA as an investment bucket. I put a lot of money into my body. I would say that's my middle risk bucket, where I try to continue to maximize the years and the time that I'll be able to play this game. And then I look at my asymmetrical bucket as my VC and crypto bucket. So that's kind of really how I look at the three investment buckets. I'm not very heavy in the stock market. I know some people don't like when I say that. I hold a little bit of gold, just as some part of me still is in that old world. Maybe it's my dad talking to me, talking about real estate and gold. And so just like, all right, dad, I got you. I'll hold some. Don't worry about it. But those are kind of the buckets that I really focus on. Real estate, body, blockchain, with a side of VC and gold. So, and obviously those are all my like safe, middle, risky type of investments.
That's funny that you say gold. I'm actually a big fan of gold also. And there are not a lot of investors who actually hold physical gold. I wish I could actually hold physical gold. You know, it's hard to kind of store and things like that. But I think that's a very good complement to broad stock market kind of fluctuations and things like that. So as we kind of move on, right, throughout your basketball career, you have been very active with kind of the startup ecosystem and startup investments. Has that become more of a focus for you over the years? Or what is it about the startup community that you like?
I think for me, it's been about just creating something, creating both value and also something that's meaningful. When you're in startup land and startup world, you have a lot more autonomy. I think that's something that the NBA kind of frees you up to do in a sense, right? You have all these restrictions on your time in terms of where you have to be physically, whether it's this city or that city or play basketball, but you have a lot of mental space a lot of times, and you can dream and you can try to do different things. Starting a Subway like my dad did in terms of starting a business like that, a chain, didn't really appeal to me as much as, like, for example, starting a shoe company, right? Because it was authentic to me. It was something that I dreamed about. And in that respect, it also was a passion project as well. And so I got to learn the ropes, make a little bit of money during the process. And every time you go through a process like that, it's all about learning. And so it helps build the block for the next startup or business or whatever that you're either going to be an advisor to or a founder of, et cetera. So, you know, without going through the shoe process, it would have been harder to do my security token, which also would have made founding Galaxy in terms of the creator economy even harder. I look at all those as effective learning tools, learning curves, and just a complete growth process.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Really, one kind of related question is, maybe for our audience, maybe for some of your basketball fans, when you're evaluating startups, give them one or two tips. Like, how do you think about startups? How do you think about investing? What should people really look for?
I would say right now, because I'm doing a little bit less just like capital throwing at startups, focusing on basketball, things like that. A lot of the things that are pushed my way, I like to try to align with personally, because, you know, they're offering board seats or extra equity for marketing endeavors or whatever it may be, the typical sweeteners you'd give to a semi high profile individual, right? So with that being said, because I'm not a like secret investor, I'm not a quiet money. Right. I try to make sure that it's something that I like. Right. And something that I'll actually use and is authentic to me. For example, a brand like a Lemon Perfect, which is a lemon water, or a Brain Fuel, which is a performance drink. Those things are things I actually will drink and do drink. So it's effective for me to endorse those, put some capital behind them, also obtain equity for marketing or board seats or whatever, because they align with me. So I'm never in a situation where I'm like, did I really need to do that? Did I just do it for a money grab or whatever it may be? So that's probably number one, is make sure they align with my values, that they're authentic to me.
Like Yale Street.
Exactly. Sorry, I was thinking about like physical products, but yeah. like all the way around. And then you also look at the team. You know what I mean? You want to make sure that people smarter than you are running them. I'm a firm believer, especially in startup land, with all the brilliant minds and Ivy League scholars that are entering the space and all that other stuff and taking these chances, I should never feel like the smartest person in the room. And don't get me wrong, I don't think I'm a dumb guy by any stretch. Like I think I have a good head on my shoulders, but if I can go into a room and be like, wow, these people blow me away. Like I feel like they are brilliant. You know what I'm saying? It puts you in a space of also believing in them. So now you have an authentic product that you believe in. You have a team that you believe in. And so now it's all about making sure deal terms are right, long-term vision is aligned. Like, and those are more semantics that are easier to get into.
So there you go, guys. VT has given us a couple of tips. Obviously, make sure that the product speaks to you. You're passionate about it, so you can really contribute to it. And then the team, which is going to be critical in startup ecosystem for executing. Because as I always say, vision without execution is hallucination. So I think, you know,
that's a good one.
Yeah, Viti, that's a great advice for our listeners. Now, just like in sports, you have to be a perpetual student, like constantly learning, improving. And as you said, you know, surrounded by smart people, what keeps you motivated and how do you kind of expand your knowledge base and skill set, both the basketball as well as business?
So business, I think you approach from a standpoint of understanding that as much as you may think you know, you're still very much a novice. And to the point, right, there are experts all around you. And so you have to take almost that third grade mentality and just soak up as much knowledge as possible. And that's the way I approach business, especially when entering a new field. And like I said, I've been in the blockchain space for, 2016, 17? So let's call it 4 years or so. And I'm learning every single day. The true crypto OGs got in, 2012? And this thing ages you like dog years. So they're far ahead of the game than I am, right? And I'm still learning every single day. With basketball, I think it's a little bit different, right? Because I've been doing it since I was 4 years old. So I definitely feel like one of the experts and OGs in the space. But that also means that like what you're trying to do is fine tune. You're trying to refine. So you go to the people that are a little bit more seasoned than you, have more knowledge, you know, coaches, staff, older players, vets. You try to soak up knowledge from them. You try to fine tune the areas. You're not trying to completely revamp your skill set, right? Because you've already been in it so long. And then I also think you go to the younger guys for kind of that energy burst, right? That vibrance. Sometimes when you've been in the NBA for 8 years and you've seen a lot, like sometimes it can weigh you down a little bit, but then you see the rookie and how excited they are. And you're like, man, like this is still the game that I wanted to play since I was four. So you absorb some of that passion from the younger guys. So probably a little bit of a different approach between business and basketball. Both are about acquiring knowledge, but one I think is more about fine tuning because I do feel like an expert, obviously, at basketball. Whereas in business, like people do business for 60, 70 years. You know what I'm saying? I've been in business for 10, really 8. I am so new and I'm in a new asset class. So I've got a ton to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think really 4 years in blockchain and crypto world is like being a veteran. The world is just waking up to it in the last 2 or 3 years. So, but there is a lot of exciting stuff happening there. Now, you're absolutely right, actually, because in life, you also have to be motivated. And so even when I come to work, when we have young people fresh out of college join the company, it's always exciting because they have new ideas. In fact, just yesterday, I had lunch with our interns for the summer that were leaving us. And I was so energized after meeting them because they're this starry, blue-eyed, like they want to really kind of, they're meeting with the CEO. So that energy and passion always obviously drives you and kind of keeps you fresh. So I think that's really a good tip. So just moving on here a little bit, you obviously have a commendable lot of ambition, lot of entrepreneurial endeavors. Over the years, Viti, you have established multiple companies in different areas. Were there any mentors or advisors that you kind of relied on? And were there any of your colleagues that are pursuing the same route as you? Why was it important for you to kind of diversify away from basketball to do all of these different entrepreneurial ventures?
I'll go back to my parents teaching me to dream at an early age. Understanding that in the NBA, you have certain amounts of time on your hands. In terms of mental capacity to dream, you're on the plane. Like you have different things that may come into your head. In terms of mentors, I would say each company kind of had different things that helped along the way. As I got into VC, looking like a Jason Mendelsohn, when I was doing my shoe, you look at Robert Purvey, right, who was an executive and won at a point in time. Now with Galaxy, like you got, because backed by Hedera Hashgraph, you have like Lehman Baird. You also have Roham, who's the CEO of Flow, and Dapper Labs, who also helps us out. So each company has had different advisors and mentors along the way. And I've been blessed, and I think obviously in large part due to basketball, to have conversations with experts in the space or the field that I'm trying to go into. And I think having the pragmatic approach of understanding like, hey, you don't know everything and being able to humble yourself and be like, hey, I'm an expert at basketball, but I'm not an expert at this, creates long lasting relationships. And I think endears you to them and makes them more forthcoming with their knowledge. And that's how you continue to grow. So I would say each space had different people at different times and they were all critical in my development at each different milestone.
That makes a lot of sense. So folks, there you have it, right? Very good advice. Number one is be humble because you always are a student. And especially when you are getting into new areas, you need to have that network that you can tap into and be humble and try to learn from the network. And I think that can really obviously give each of us the knowledge gap that we have and like make us better learners and just better experts at what we do. So really moving on to I know you're big into philanthropy. You have your family foundation. Why was that very important to you? And why is that important to kind of give back to the community? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Primarily, my family has kind of a history of doing that. We had a small scholarship fund in the church that I grew up in for probably, I want to say like 30 years or something like that. Don't quote me on that, but it's something to that effect. And so when I started my family foundation, some of those principles were just extensions of like what my family was already doing and believing in on a much smaller scale. Pretty much our main activation in my family foundation is a GAP scholarship fund. And the reason why it's called GAP scholarship is because it's not technically full. You apply for FAFSA, your normal financial aid, all those things. And then we cover whatever is left, right? And so as long as you uphold your GPA requirements, stay in good standing with the school, you have the opportunity to get your undergraduate degree, your four-year degree with no student debt. So it basically, in effect, is a full scholarship. Just legally, I can't say that. But that is something that we're very passionate about, education, sports programming. It's like a family legacy thing, and something that was instilled in me very early.
I think, listen, education is so important, Vidi, especially when you have student debt at $1.5 trillion.
Yeah.
And that really weighs down on young men and women. And it takes them a long time to repay that back to even start their life because the debt is so crippling. So I think the area that you have focused is, I think, is extremely important. Listen, congratulations again on signing with the Wizards. I'm sure they're lucky to have you. Tell us a little bit more about your time with the Detroit Pistons and of course, our local New York, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah. The Detroit Pistons, the 2 years there were extremely difficult, but probably my two most informative years. You know, not playing, being fresh out of college. I think I was 20, 21 or so when I got drafted, fresh off a complete knee reconstruction. Went to a veteran-laden team. Stan Van Gundy was a coach, so he had kind of that old-world NBA system. We still practiced throughout the day. I had to be the first person there. I had two-hour workouts after practice was over. It was a grind. It was tough, but it taught me what it meant to be a professional in the strictest, hardest fashion. There has not been a practice harder than a Stan Van Gundy training camp practice to date. Coming off full knee reconstruction at 21 years old and going through those has made every other NBA practice I've ever had simple. And so for that, in a weird way, even though it was very tough on me, like I have to thank that coaching staff, that organization, all that other stuff, because it set a tone in my mind. And the reason why some of these teams believe in my work ethic so much is because of how formative that time period was, along with obviously early life where working out with my uncle, because he's still the hardest trainer I've ever had in my life, all in simplest. So that's what those 2 years are really about. My 5 years in Brooklyn, it's a complete evolution. I feel like that's where my playing career really started, right? So, because I never really played in Detroit, it just laid a foundation for understanding the NBA, work ethic, et cetera. Brooklyn was where I got to start playing. And you see, I got better every year I played in Brooklyn. You know, obviously prior to getting hurt, I was able to be at pretty much every single level outside of superstar, right? You have your superstars, you got your all-stars, and on down to your two ways and 15th, 16th, 17th guys. And I pretty much was all-star leveling down all the way to DNPs, et cetera. So I got to experience all forms and facets of the league. And I think having that varied experience, understanding what it means to cheer from the bench as well as carry a team to the playoffs helps you not only on the court, but in life. And so I got to learn a lot of different perspectives in probably the most dominant city in the world. So it's really funny. Like I kind of went to Detroit in the trenches and learned what hard was. And then I got to go to New York, the most dominant city in the world with probably the most diversity, and learn diversity and different perspectives. So it's been a fun journey.
That's awesome. That's great. Great to hear. Vidi, this has been an absolute pleasure. You're really a first-class guy. One final question. Although we already know part of your latest news about joining the Wizards, what's next? Where do you go from here?
Ooh, this will be my first time in the NBA really being like, hey, this is in part your team, right? Like obviously Bradley Beal's number one, and I'm excited to play with him in the backcourt, but being like the true clear-cut number two, it's an exciting challenge. I'm looking forward to it. And I think my job as a point guard is to co-lead to the playoffs. I think that's a successful step, and hopefully not play in games for the playoffs, but like legitimately make the playoffs. I think that's kind of what we would like to have happen. See the young guys take steps forward. Kuz obviously had couple of great seasons. Then he was part of a championship team. And I know he's looking to continue to blossom in his career. Rui has a bunch of potential that he can tap into. When you look at a guy like Daniel Gafford, another guy laden with potential, Aaron Holiday, one of the best backup point guards in the league, made a comment that I hate being guarded by him. So I'm glad he's on my team. When you look at Pope, he has championship experience. We actually were together in Detroit, so there's some chemistry there. Trey is sixth man of the year. Like, we have a lot of depth, a lot of talent. First round pick in Kispert, who can really shoot the ball. Just overall, like, we're in a very solid spot. We've got to come together. We've got to be cohesive. And I think that first falls on obviously Brad's shoulder, being our leader, being our superstar. And secondarily falls on my shoulders to help him fill in the gaps wherever he misses. And if we can do that, then we have a solid chance to be a nice team in the East.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we are excited for you. And I think it's going to be a great upcoming season. So congratulations again. We'll watch you up close and personally. Thank you for being on the show. We are really looking forward to doing this again soon. So thank you, guys. This was Spencer Dinwiddie. And thank you to all of our listeners. Remember to visit guildstreet.com to learn more about our offerings and realize your next level with us. Thank you, Vidi.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Yield. For the latest updates on the alternative investing space, go to yieldstreet.com. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, as this will help other investors like yourself find our show. If you have any questions, please visit us at yieldstreet.com. Thanks again for listening, and see you next week. The Yield Street podcast you just heard only reflects the opinions of the host, who is an associated person of Yield Street, and does not necessarily reflect the views of Yield Street or any of its affiliates or other associates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be and should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security, and is not an offer or sale of any securities or investment product. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to be and should not be construed as investment advice.
Support for this podcast comes from Yield Street. Trying to time the stock market can lead to regret. At Yield Street, our alternative investments are designed to create predictable secondary income streams, providing you with tools to help put your money to work immediately. These investments in asset classes like art, real estate, and legal finance typically have low correlation with the stock market and target annual yields up to 7 to 10%. Welcome to the next generation of investing. Welcome to Yield Street. Sign up today at yieldstreet.com.